tonight on NJRR Live from the Coffee House in Edison, New Jersey, Diane and Brian interview members of Sativa Cross, advocates for cannabis legalization using art and activism. Plus, South American struggles updated by Christian Perez, Justice for Jameek, and our comrades at Cosecha just before their victory, getting driver's licenses for all New Jersey residences. You can find New Jersey Revolution Radio anywhere you get your podcasts or at www.njrevolutionradio.com. All right, so tonight I want to give an update tomorrow at the State House Annex, and we're going to talk to Lefty from Sativa Cross a minute, but Cosecha, who we've been following doing the driver's license campaign, will be down for another assembly. They'll be meeting at the same time as we'll be meeting at the State House with Sativa Cross and that coalition. So tomorrow, if you're at home or you're here, you can make it to the State House Annex about 9 o'clock tomorrow. We will be fighting for the rights of everybody to drive with weed. That is an important step in social justice here for New Jersey. We are going to talk to, but before we get into the main conversation, we are going to get back to Chris. Your microphone should be on the table. Oh, you got your microphone right there. Is it on? It's not on. Of course not.
Test, test.
I don't turn people's microphones.
Test. Right. Yep, there it
there
is.
There you go. Okay. So Christian is going to give us an update on South America. Diane, I don't know if you had anything for the introductions. You came in here. Another hard day of lawyering, I'm sure.
Recuperating from
illness
after illness.
Anything before we jump into South America for our introductions?
No.
Okay.
Let's jump right in.
That's the camera right there?
That's the camera over there. You can talk to me. Talk to them out there in the audience. You know,
no problem.
It's a podcast.
It's a podcast. So it doesn't really matter where I look or how I look, I guess, right? So there's a So there was 3 points that I wanted to touch on coming out of Latin America in the past couple weeks. The first is, as everybody knows, or people that listen to this podcast regularly, I never really pass up an opportunity to throw mud on the face of the Brazilian president, Jair Bolsonaro. He's back in the news again. So I don't know if anybody heard, but he recently this week called the climate change activist Greta Thunberg Times Person of the Year, the youngest Person of the Year winner ever.
Yeah.
He called her a brat. Because she went on Twitter this week and she said, look, your government isn't doing anything about the murder of indigenous activists. Mm-hmm. There were two activists murdered last week. They were killed in a drive-by. I wouldn't call Native Americans, but Native Brazilians were murdered. Mm-hmm. And the government is basically sticking its hands in its pocket. Same thing that they did with the Amazon burning and just looking the other way. So she called them out for that. He got mad. He didn't really have an argument for it. Remember, this is the same guy who blamed the Amazon burning on Leonardo DiCaprio. Right. Okay.
Oh yeah, you reported on that the last
time. Yeah, I reported on that last time. So yeah. I could talk about that next time. That's the latest conspiracy theory. But he had no argument, so he called her a brat, and his government isn't really doing anything. Same thing as with the Amazon burning. But interestingly, that's not the most embarrassing thing or the most shameful thing coming out of Brazil this week. Mm-hmm. There is a culture minister, I believe his name is Dante Mantovani, and for those that know Brazil, know Latin America, it's an incredibly rich country culturally. Samba, bossa nova, a lot of martial arts, a lot of beautiful things coming out of Brazil artistically. But this culture minister on his YouTube page recently blamed rock and roll music he blamed abortions on rock and roll music. So on his YouTube page, this is a culture minister in Brazil. He came out and he said that on his YouTube page that rock and roll music causes people to have sex, and sex causes abortions, and abortions are funded by the devil. So rock and roll is of the devil.
Wow, and
it's like Footloose squared. He named he named Elvis as a perpetrator. He named John Lennon as a particular perpetrator here.
Wow.
He subscribes to the conspiracy theory that the CIA planted LSD during the Woodstock concert. And he also said that rock and roll is the responsible for the destruction of the moral fabric of the United States in the 1960s. So he's building that bridge to the 1980s.
Yeah.
The Satanic Panic. I'm sure, Brian, you're an old school metalhead. I'm sure you remember the Satanic Panic back in the 80s.
Oh, Ozzy Osbourne.
Geraldo, everything.
Playing records backwards.
Yeah, playing records backwards. So Brazil. Like,
Tipper Gore.
The Crusade against the parental advisory.
Schneider and
Yeah. John Denver and all those people came in. It was a congressional hearing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so so in Brazil, the Amazon is burning. There are activists being murdered. So rather than address these issues, they're pushing conspiracy theories in misdirection. And that's what we see. It's the same thing we see in this country. Same thing with 9/11, the claims of Muslims cheering after 9/11. It's the same people using conspiracy theories to further their agenda.
Yeah.
The second point I want to touch on, because I do know my time is limited, is the austerity protests are continuing in Latin America, rising costs of healthcare, education, housing, food, transportation, reductions in benefits, violence against minorities, and so on and so forth. All this is coming to a head in Latin America. It's been decades of this.
Yeah.
So in Colombia this year, 2019, there have been 86 activists murdered, 22 of which coming from the same organization. And just as in Brazil, with the government looking the other way, it's the same thing in Colombia. The government historically in Colombia is a very right-wing, authoritarian, oppressive government. Not necessarily authoritarian, but they've always had those tendencies. So same thing, they're looking the other way. In Chile, the riots started on October 14th over an increase in subway fares.
Yeah.
And people started rioting. The police reacted or responded with a massive amount of force. 10 days later, riots spread. And the problem's been ongoing there in Chile also. This is a government under the Pinochet regime that killed tens of thousands of its own people under Operation Condor. When the right wing makes jokes about helicopters and so on and so forth, this is what they're referencing.
Rape,
murder, all that
actually
stuff.
Happened.
Tens of thousands of people and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So it's happening in Haiti. They had some riots that wrapped up. Their economy was forced into an export economy. But again, we see these problems going through Latin America.
Yeah.
The same problems we see here in the United States.
Yeah.
Wrapping it up in Bolivia, the OAS finally came out with a report, I think on Thursday, where they finally tried to lay out that they had some evidence of election misdeeds in Bolivia. But it's sloppy. At this point, they're an organization that have zero credibility. They're arm in arm with all these questionable right wing governments.
New Jersey rep.
And they there it is. That's an endorsement. And they've just emboldened the right in that country. They've done nothing but hurt things in that country. So at this point, they're an organization with very little credibility.
Yeah.
And that's my little Latin America roundup. I hope that I could touch on some of those things. I never pass up an opportunity to make fun of the president of Brazil. I would laugh at him, but you know we've got our own situation going on over here. So glass houses and casting stones.
The faithful,
we can laugh at them all.
We can laugh at them all. Yeah. We can laugh at them all. I mean, it's the real deal. So same deal, pushing conspiracy theories, not having arguments for their position, the murder of innocents, the murder of activists. It's the same themes we see going all throughout that region. We've seen since the Cold War and before. And frankly, some of the things we see going on in this country.
But the bravery of the people in Chile, Colombia, to just continue to be out there in Bolivia.
In Bolivia. I mean, these are poor people. There was a meme I saw earlier today, and it said something like, it was about how it said, black women will always be too loud in a world that never meant to give them a space. Okay, so in these Latin American countries where you have millions of poor black people, millions of poor Indian people, these are societies that were set up for these people never to have a space anyway, to have a conversation, to have a seat at the table.
Yeah.
So for the past 15, 16, 20 years, they've had their chance to run these countries and they've gotten better. But that freaked out the right wing. And now you see this massive right wing backlash in those countries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know what it will take for us to rise up and demand change.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, in the United States, we're just not as unified as some of these other countries are. There's a number of other... Yeah.
With what's going on in France right now.
Yeah,
since
Yellow Vest,
Friday.
Same thing in France.
And it's gone beyond Yellow Vest.
Yeah.
It's like everyone. I think the largest numbers I heard was about 800,000 people in the streets, shutting everything down, shutting their operations of everything and mass transit down over changing the retirement age.
Yeah.
And look at how many times we just take it and we take it and we take it.
Yeah.
We don't care. We don't do anything.
That's the thing. For them, it's like the straw that broke the camel's back. It's been incremental and so on and so forth. And they do know how to strike in France.
They know how
Europe,
to strike in France.
Latin America. They know. They know. Here, you strike, the next guy's trying to take your job.
Yeah.
No,
there's no solidarity.
Here.
Well, the public sector unions, I remember the last round of the Yellow Vest protests.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But first off, there's some right-wing elements to that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's kind of like, And you've seen even in some of these European revolutions, I think that gained it, there was reactionary elements to it. In Greece, Syriza had right wing elements to it. Yeah. You know, and I think what you're seeing in Latin America and the uprisings of indigenous peoples is one, it's true socialism. I think there's not these kind of coalitions where you have to work in coalition with right wingers, centrists.
Yeah, it's like a mix of left wing groups and like quasi neoliberal lefty groups. Yeah. Yeah,
there's real difference, and I think real lessons to be learned in solidarity from absolutely. South American resistance as opposed to European resistance.
Yeah.
But I think one of the great, the French, like I said, they know how to strike. And one of the inspiring things I thought was public sector workers, they take care of our sewage. And taking care of our sewage is important.
Yeah.
And when you know how to drive a sewage truck that has a pump on it, you also know how to use that pump as a spray cannon.
Oh my God.
And they were spraying down government buildings in sewage. This is how you get things done. So, I mean,
shout out to the DPW.
Right?
I'm about to tell
everybody during the commercial break about signing an online petition. All right. I want you to be a politician sitting in your office getting a phone call or reading an email.
And then I
want you to be a politician with shit flying through your window. And I want you to think about which one of those politicians is going to move faster.
Nothing like lighting a fire, right?
The United States will look at our global uprisings and be inspired one of these days.
I'm hoping British elections. That's today, isn't it? The UK elections are today.
Is Corbyn?
I believe that's today. I mean, we've got the presidential elections coming up soon.
We'll have to do some
Jeremy Corbyn.
I'm embarrassed and I don't know that off the top of my head.
I know. Somebody will say it in the feed. I'm not watching the feed. Somebody will call me out.
This guy's a buffoon.
It's some technical difficulties today.
Somebody'll call me out in the feed, I'm saying. Somebody said it's next week or something.
No, I think you're right. I think it is today.
Hopefully Corbyn wins and we'll see where Britain goes from there. I mean, it's some of these countries you want to laugh at some of the leaders they have, but then again, glass houses, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
we'll laugh at them all and let's try to get rid of them all.
These guys will have some fun stories about some crappy leadership, just local leadership, right? That'll be fun.
I want to pull up
something. Have you thought about spraying people with sewage?
Yeah.
No, you don't want to be that guy. You just be the bomb guy, right?
I was thinking about just smoking some East Coast sour diesel, but that really takes it to a new level. Before we go, I want to talk and hang out. No, I don't know if you had a chance to watch it, but if you at home, we haven't put out the podcast version yet. It went out on our YouTube channel, but this podcast will be coming out tomorrow. It's called U.S. Imperialism and Its Impact on Latin America,
put on by
our comrade Madeline Hoffman.
Yes, that was a couple weeks ago.
Senate here in New Jersey on a Green Party ticket.
Yeah.
But this was something she did in coalition with some other groups. We had Colombian revolutionaries come in through the Zoom room. It's about a 2.5 hour presentation. I'll play a little quick clip here about America, because I think, you know, we can never leave out America's involvement in the current disasters going on. I want to play a little quick clip, but I really encourage everybody at home, check out the YouTube video, New Jersey Revolution Radio's YouTube page. But here's a little quick clip from somebody speaking on behalf of Latin Americans.
Especially the history of coups. We do not forget the coup against President Jacobo Arbenz in Guatemala in 1954 that led to the genocide of more than 50,000 indigenous people of Mayan origin in Guatemala.
Wow.
We cannot forget that. We'll never forget 1973 and the assassination of socialist President Salvador Allende. We refuse to forget, because this has always been the history of the United States in our countries. Now, the question that...
So there you have it. I mean, you know, and she goes on.
She's right.
Lucia is her name. And again, you know, that's on the YouTube page. But, you know, we had a great discussion, a 2 hour long discussion about the complicated mess of all these Latin American countries and these right wing regimes coming back to power. Really,
and that's, you shake your head, you can't get it. But it's the same tactics: fear, intimidation, misinformation. People fall victim to that. We talk about, you know, voter intimidation, keeping people from the polls. The same thing happens in Latin America. It's the same song over and over. It's the same playbook everywhere in every country.
History always repeats. That's why we need to learn our history. But much of the history we learn in our, I'm a Gen Xer and I'm learning now.
Yeah.
Because I was not taught real. We get oatmeal in school. History. Yeah.
I think my brother, he said, we're taught to, we were taught to summarize, not to analyze in school. And I think that that's a big problem.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Especially yeah. these younger kids trying to pass the tests. Mm-hmm. Don't even get me started on that.
Yeah. Yeah. History always repeats. So.
Always. Always. Yep. Right. But thanks again for having me. Oh, really quick. Two quick resources if anyone's interested in Latin America. Again, I keep pushing the book Killing Hope by William Bloom. There's also a book and a documentary that came out a couple years ago by Juan Gonzalez. He's one of the hosts of Democracy Now! Oh, with sure. Amy Goodman. Yeah. Yeah, really good film, really good book. Check it out. It's called Harvest of Empire. And I think it's on YouTube for free.
Okay.
And the premise of the book and the film is that those same countries where the United States had the most, we'll say, input, mm-hmm. the most had basically the countries that the United States had their hand in the most are those same countries that sent the most people here. So mm-hmm. Mexico, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, El Salvador, Guatemala, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. Those countries, because of their ties to the United States, sent the most people here. And that's, they are the harvest of empire. We are the harvest of empire.
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. check it out. Harvest of Empire, Killing Hope by William Bloom. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Thanks good. And how is your podcast going? Do you have anything to
plug? Oh my God. I'm the worst. I haven't come out with a new episode in okay. months, but I was recently featured on the podcast Southpaw, which wow. is a kind of like a martial arts fight sport podcast. The creators call it like Joe Rogan of the left. So I would have loved to have gone on there and talked about my love of pro wrestling, but I didn't do that. I talked about conspiracy theories and it made its way to white privilege and history and stuff like that. So the podcast is called Southpaw. Episode 49, Conspiracy Theories, Privilege, Empire. Give it a listen.
Okay. And have you done a show yet on all of the conspiracy theories surrounding Greta Thunberg?
I haven't. I should. Actually, I should think about that. That's what's so kind of like a, she's what's popular now. I was talking with my wife. I think she's a good choice for person of the year.
Yeah.
You don't want it to be a sleazebag. You yeah. know, like Stalin and Hitler, that didn't age well, right?
Yeah.
So someone like Greta Thunberg, that'll age well. She's good. I like her.
But you've got all those conspiracy.
I don't have all bad things to say about Uncle Joe.
I have what?
I don't have all bad things to say about Uncle Joe.
Uncle Joe, yeah. Uncle Joe.
I'm just
that's another conversation. For another
We do have to wrap up.
Yes,
man.
Thank
we appreciate
you. Thanks
you
again, guys.
Here,
anytime, Brett, anytime you want me, I'll be here. Anytime.
Absurdity and Modernity. So
thanks
thank
a lot.
You.
Guys.
It's commercial time. I got new commercial music. You notice it? It's not the same. Because this is some homegrown stuff. You know? This is Poetry 360 Night. 360 Night with Justice. And this is Champ. And we're just going to check this out for a minute.
Back when we all used to chill at the coffee cake. I'm so broke, I'm sweating that shit. Makes me a little sexy one day. Shout out to Miss Push. But when the old folks walk in, I'm asking, when can my love begin? I'm so north. I'm a D-Dog versus Uggy battle. Rest in peace, Uggy. I'm so north. I'm DJ Little Man versus Frosty battle. I'm that we play Indian mix with a little rough rider.
So that's Poetry 360 Poetry Night with Justice every third Saturday in Newark at La Rouge Lounge. We want to make sure you check that out. I'd go there even if we didn't sponsor it because it's awesome and it's mm-hmm. fun. And then we also want to make sure that if you are in the Newark area or in surrounding regions, Montclair, anywhere within about 10 miles of Newark, Intuitive Touch Massage can come out and give you a back rub, give you a neck rub. My leg's been bothering me. Leg rubs help sometimes too. You know, Jamar James from the New African Black Panther Party. This is his small business.
Oh, great.
We're still having problem getting corporate sponsorship here at New Jersey Revolution Radio mm-hmm. for some reason. I don't know why. So that's it. We want to remind everybody again, 360. And now I got the tradition. Now you know. Now it feels like we're in a commercial break, right?
Yes.
This is the commercial music, right? In the mood for commercials. I also want to wish a very happy birthday to my comrade, Diane Quas. She does our social media here.
She came here on her birthday
while she's sick to help us post things on Facebook. So I've known Diane for 20-something years.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
We ran for union office years and years ago, even though I got summarily thrown out of that union before getting thrown out of other things. It was one of my first things I ever got thrown out of. Not for lack of trying. But we've stayed comrades ever since, and very happy birthday. I got it right today, comrade. I appreciate it. All right, so those are our commercial breaks. I want to first, before we get into the main interview here and hand it over to my comrade, Diane, I just want to say, Lefty, I walked by your show a lot, man, when I was working in Trenton. Every once in a while, we stopped by. We talked about when we had a little tiff over the minimum wage thing.
That is so funny.
But I told you, I knew it was.
You turn it down. No, you turn it down. No, you turn it down.
I walked away.
First encounter. That's great.
It was great. So, but other
than
that,
the megaphones, was it?
No. Oh, I don't. It was, no, it was working
sound system.
Let me just put it this way. Diane, working families put something together.
Okay.
I'm just saying. It was working.
You guys were in the wrong spot.
We were in the wrong spot. They were in the wrong spot. And then they sent the new guy over to handle the potheads. Oops.
You look like a pothead. Go deal with the pothead.
But I do.
Pot, don't you?
I was touting you guys a little bit before you got here and talking to some people in the coffee house. And I do know you've been there for 5 years every Thursday.
5 years.
Smoking weed. Talking to, you know, governors, regardless of who it was. Yeah. And it was no doubt that your presence, I know that PTSD got added to the list of symptoms, was one of your major accomplishments.
Yeah.
And that was a governor signed that who wouldn't have signed the initial law. He wouldn't have signed Kuma into law. But I think it's because you were there every week in his face doing what you do that Chris Christie signed that law into effect and gave you one of the pens that he did it with, right?
The veterans. Yeah, the veterans on our podcast were just given pressure and pressure. That's what it takes for anything to get done is pressure.
Yeah, man. So I would just, as a recent patient myself, even though I still got fucking arrested, I do want to thank you for all your hard work and activism, because it's had a real effect and a real, you know, and it's helped.
I can't believe that you got arrested, because that happens all over the state. What happened to you? Mike, this is Mike. I don't know if you...
Let me hand it off to you. I'm going to hand it off because this is Diane's interview. We got to let Diane ask the question.
I thought we were having a discussion. Are we having a discussion?
I want to know about your situation.
Yes.
This is your section.
Yeah. Well,
you got arrested.
Yeah.
And he got arrested.
In the discussion.
He got beat up
by
6 cops in Seaside. And you got roughed up and charged with a felony?
Two felonies.
Come on. This is not how you treat patients. This is not compassion. It's not Christian behavior. It's disgusting. Mm-hmm. And we're going to call everyone out who's hurting the sick and the dying. And you're one of them. And I'm sorry this happened to you. And I'd be a lot more pissed off
it meant a lot, you know, and seeing, you know, like you said, you know, we run in a little bit of different circles, but, you know, weed smoker and stuff like that. But the compassion.
And maybe we
showed.
Should pause a moment. Yeah. Would you mind introducing our two guests?
That's because we've started. Yes. You can introduce. Lefty Grimes and Mike Bonghole Leo.
Say your last name so everybody can remember.
Vingileos.
Mike Vingileos, you'll have to share a microphone.
I don't expect anyone to ever remember it.
This will be a test later.
Mikey's fine.
And what organizations do you work with?
Sativa Cross.
Okay.
And CMMNJ. Very helpful. And that's what I want to talk to you about also. CMMNJ, the Coalition for Medical Marijuana in New Jersey. We need to squash this beef with CMMNJ.
Who's that?
We have to fix this.
What beef?
With Ken Walsky. We got to bring this up because it's an elephant in the room, and I really want to get to the good stuff, but this is an elephant we got to deal with.
Okay. Does Diane know what we're talking about? I think I briefed you a little bit.
Maybe a little bit, but...
Let me just tell you, Ken Walsky is one of my heroes. He's one of the reasons why we have medical cannabis in New Jersey.
I believe that.
Him and Jim Miller started the coalition back when Jim Miller was pushing his wife around in a bed around New Jersey for multiple sclerosis.
Mm.
And it's one of the reasons why I got into activism was because of those guys.
Okay.
Ken Walsky is not a cannabagger. I'm sorry I ever coined that phrase. I made that phrase up. I'm sorry. It's got out of hand. Everybody's a cannabagger now. Ken Walsky is not a cannabagger.
And for our viewers and listeners who may not know, what is a cannabagger?
A cannabagger is someone who wants to make money off sick and dying people, basically.
Okay. I don't think he's that.
Okay.
I wouldn't make that up.
You take that back then?
I didn't say that.
I think you did.
I said that he was taking, he had some paid speaking gigs. That's what I said, which doesn't make him a cannabagger. And I don't think, no. That is what I said, right?
I don't remember. That's why I record everything.
No, I would not say that about Ken Walsky. I don't know him that well.
He's a great guy. He was a prison nurse for 30 years. Yeah. He worked in the prisons So he's got a good heart, and I don't agree with him on everything. I don't, and I let him know, but I, you know, we have our disagreements, but we're all on the same page, and we need to all
get together.
Yeah, we are. He's not what you think. He's not like an industry guy. When he takes money, it's
no,
an honorarium.
I don't think he is.
It's an honorarium. That's that fine. Money goes to
I take that too. And in all fairness, that's not a big deal because I get gas money for going places. We all do that when we
take money, but he should because he speaks to the old folks' homes and you know, he's a good speaker and he's helpful to our community. And so I hope tomorrow we can all squash this. That's not gonna happen. Oh my god, really?
Well, I mean, so we're just not going to.
Will Ken Wolski be at the rally tomorrow?
I hope so.
I think he will be. Yeah.
So you're going to try to make peace with Ken Wolski?
I'd like you guys to make peace and hug it out.
We'll just have democratic debate, is all it really is. Because I'm not going to agree with you.
That's fine.
And it's not, and I'm not going to argue with anything you say. Like I was saying, I don't know, Ken. You guys, and that's, I'm kind of new to these circles a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I come from a labor background and I smoke weed and, you know, it's been cool for me. But you guys, I'm not going to take any credit away from people that have done stuff for 35, 10 years. I don't deserve it, nor am I trying to do that. But the statements that I made and the thing that I'm arguing with Ken about is his leanings towards, and he made the statement, I'm using his own words against him here, that corporations being involved in this stuff is good and that a profit motive being involved in medicine is a good thing. And that's not even just a weed thing for me. I mean, we don't want, as socialists and anti-capitalists, we don't want profit involved in healthcare at all. Right. So it's very political. But he's actually, so when I look at an advocate, right, when I think of an advocate, right, I look at you, when I look at what Mike's doing, when I look at what Diane does, you know, in these different causes that we come from, we go and we talk to people and we advocate for people against usually corporations with government. Okay. This is kind of the traditional lobbying dynamic, right? And what I've seen from Ken and what I've seen from Frank Pallone and what I've seen from some other, you know, people who have been engaged.
Let's
for a
not
long
put
time.
Them on the same level at all.
I'm
at
not
all.
Frank Pallone is doing the same thing. Let me finish my observation, though, because what Pallone's doing for the medical industry is going to the medical industry, getting their line and coming back to the people and trying to sell it to the people. And I heard the same kind of statements out of Ken where he was starting to say that corporations being involved is good. And whatever, I'm not going to make any accusations about him taking large amounts of money. You know, I don't think that's the case. I don't think he's profiting from sick and dying people. But what I am seeing him do is remain with his access to power, as opposed when I advocate, if I do talk to politicians, it's on, you know, it's for the people. I would never go to the people and advocate on behalf of a corporation or say things like what I've heard him say. Now, if he thinks it's a good strategy, he's a lobbyist, he wants to go and make friends or
he's
whatever. Advocate, however he wants. I'll let Ken define himself. You know what I'm saying? He's not here to defend himself, so I feel a little guilty.
We should call him.
I don't have all that technology. I'll talk to him tomorrow. We'll do a live stream tomorrow. I would set it up. It's a little bit much, but no, I don't have a problem saying what I said about Ken, but Ken is very much an old school kind of neoliberal approach to this, and that's not our approach. And I don't think that, and you're just never going to hear me make a statement that corporations being involved in making money off this stuff is a good
thing. No, I won't say that either.
And so if we all want to be on the same line, that's fine. We all want home grow, but you can see the different angles. And I think that even Sanjay, Sanjay Chudhari, who was, on the show a couple of weeks ago, is trying to push for patients first. And Weedman, Ed Fortune, wants everybody to have home grow. So, yeah, we all want the same things. But when you start advocating for corporations and for profit, you know, I break out the red flag, the hammer and the sickle and remind you all what side I'm on.
Yeah, I have to review that tape. I didn't hear him say that, but I have to hear that.
And especially if we're talking about, in this case, it's medical marijuana.
Right. Yeah.
So for me to hear that somebody would be advocating for corporations to make profit off of medical need, it's, to me, extremely distasteful. We should be advocating for it to be covered under insurance plans.
Yes.
If it's being prescribed medically, why aren't we advocating that it be
that's a
mandate that it be covered by insurance?
It's not prescribed. It's recommended. It's not prescribed.
Yeah. That's how they get around all the insurance.
You can't prescribe it. It's federally illegal. Right. So you can't prescribe
it. That's the real break.
A prescription has to go through a federal on the... You don't get... When I get my prescription, there's no prescription. FDA. I don't have a prescription for cannabis. I have a doctor's recommendation and then a bottle with my name on it and stuff.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's not a prescription.
And then we got people like Joe Biden out there right now.
Uncle Joe, man.
Let's all laugh at once. Come on.
So that ain't ever going to happen.
It's 2019. What did that guy, that dude say?
Oh, my goodness. Oh my God. Guy. He's got to go.
Yeah.
If I run against Frank Pallone, it's the team is going to be okay, Frank.
That's what's that?
Okay, Frank.
Pallone.
Yeah, he's another one. So that's where I'm at with Ken. I mean, if Ken wants to talk to me and smoke a bone and talk about football or whatever, I don't know that his approach is good. You know, I'm not going to make personal or nothing like that because I don't know the guy. I really don't.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely can't be personal. And it can't be something that takes away from 30 years of activism, like you said. Mm-hmm. Kuma wouldn't be here because of him and you.
Yeah, let's all build bridges and get this done. We got to figure. Come on.
Yeah.
But no
hyper profiting off of the medical needs.
That's
of
never going
to
happen.
We need to make it accessible and available to people who need it.
We need it free. We need home grow. We need it for free.
Okay. Because
I know people can't afford this. I see all my patient friends. They can't. They're struggling.
And because it can't be legally prescribed and it can't be covered under a prescription drug plan.
They're paying cash for their doctors.
Yeah.
It's hurtful.
Yeah. It's crazy. Nah. So, whatever the barriers are. And as you all know, my weed is chamomile. I don't partake in the marijuana weed, but I'm.
Marijuana weed.
I used to.
You can try to be cool about it, though.
I used to.
I don't dig that cannabis.
The weed today is too good, so
it is fantastic, man.
It is fantastic. I gotta say that.
And there's nothing wrong with it, though. We need to legalize recreational marijuana. I know there's been some talk about decriminalizing. We know there's been bills that have been ignored.
Well, that's what we're doing at the state house legislature.
Yeah, we're going to fight. There's a home grow provision in that bill. And
what is going on tomorrow?
It seems
all very rushed. It's Steve Sweeney. Diane, it's Steve Sweeney. So he's telling us he's going to put something on the ballot, which means something on the ballot. Jesus, God, I don't even, he's out there. So, but what is, I guess, I haven't been up as much as I have on what's going on tomorrow, because it's been changing kind of rapidly as they slap shit together in a haphazard manner, as they will in Trenton.
Well, tomorrow is going to be interesting because the Conducir de Licencia group is going to be there.
Yes.
And we're going to put on some green shirts and get down with them for a couple hours and then switch shirts to whatever we're going to be wearing, maybe a black shirt, and go and do our thing. Those guys are very successful. You know why they're successful? Because they all stick together. They all have their cliques. They all have their problems, but they all stick together.
And what is that?
The Conducir de Licencia group. They are the immigrants fighting for licenses.
Oh, yes. Driver's Licenses for All is also tomorrow at the State House from 9 to 12.
Amazing
one of our
group.
Favorite groups, Cosecha, is one of the
organizers.
They were organizers.
On the show last week, right?
Yeah, and it passed one of the committees on Monday.
Yes.
I believe it's in the Transportation Committee tomorrow. Yes, they're doing a great job.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Good. So you're going to take turns. You're going to support them.
Yes, because they've been coming to our podcast for 3 years. The past 3 years, they don't have a permit, so they come and use our permit for the last 3 years. This year when they came, the state troopers were not happy. They brought out the riot gear. They brought out the helmets. It was like, it was pretty crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what that was all about.
They're getting more militant everywhere, man.
Yeah.
They ain't just there at the State House.
Yeah.
We're starting to see activists get dragged out and into jail a lot more frequently.
It's not good.
No, it's not.
Threatening patients where they can smoke. I mean, they're literally smoking tobacco right outside the door, and they're making patients walk thousands of feet across. It's like, what? Really?
Newark didn't give a shit.
You got to go in a wheelchair.
I was smoking a bowl of weed right on the courthouse steps in Newark while when it was a trial. We went for the XR Rebellion thing.
Oh.
The prosecutor lit my bowl for me.
Did you get on film?
Nah.
I've always wanted that. That's on my bucket list.
Well,
prosecutor.
Well, you still have to adhere towards the smoke-free, right?
Yeah. We were outside in the smoke pit. Everybody was smoking cigarettes.
Yeah,
I'm looking around.
Make sure you're in the smoking area.
Yeah.
And then I didn't have my lighter.
Doorway, right?
Watch out for the breathe easy zone. That's all.
That's what it is. Breathe easy
Watch
zone.
Out, Blue sign, go away, run.
Go away.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, no, I turned to a dude in a fancy suit because they took my lighter going into the court. I was like, God, dude, you took my lighter. You got a light. He goes, they don't take lawyers' lighters here. He goes, I'm like one of the prosecutors here. I go, give me a light, dude. Thanks. You know. And he didn't say nothing. I turned around, cops were there looking at me. I mean, it's New York. They better shit to worry about, I guess. I don't know, but
you would think
not the same as middle. So, you know, that's why when I got nabbed, I was so kind of caught off guard because I had smoked openly in front of police plenty of times. Right here.
Not the sheriffs and deputies. That's a whole different breed. That's a whole different. I'm telling you, there.
Potbelly pigs. They're the potbelly.
I'm telling you, we have not educated the sheriffs and the deputies. We've gone almost every police station in New Jersey, but we haven't gone to the sheriffs. And I think we should start doing that because, yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
They don't get the guidelines. They don't know about Kuma.
What is tomorrow? I'm sorry. I got us off the subject.
So
what is tomorrow?
We know we have driver's licenses for all. So everyone should go down to Trenton tomorrow between 9 to 12 because there's two wonderful actions right in the same area. Yes. So you can do both at once. Okay, so go ahead. So
we're after that, and we're going to do a rally for Home Grow.
Okay.
Outside the State House, and then inside on the fourth floor, we're going to be going up to the committee meeting and hopefully speaking up there.
And what committee is that tomorrow?
Health.
No, it's not the health committee. It's a different one. I forget the name of it. It's I forget. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm not prepared for that, but
it's okay.
That's okay.
Just go in the State House and smell around. You'll find us.
You'll find us. And then after that, at 2 o'clock, we have a meeting with the Department of Health.
Okay.
Which is going to be very interesting. We got Jeff Oakes, who's a stage 4 cancer patient.
Yeah.
And he's coming to speak to the Department of Health and to the medical cannabis, Jeff Brown.
Okay, so this is about medical Home Grow?
Home Grow for medical patients.
Okay.
We want a separate bill for that, yeah.
Okay, and at least that would make it more affordable since there are other federal barriers because of all of our boomers out there right now that don't want to.
See, the problem is a patient with cancer grows cannabis and he goes to jail, but people can make money growing cannabis and
selling it to them at ridiculously high rates.
Growing it and selling it, and they can make money. But my friend who has cancer grows it and goes to jail for life. He'll die in jail if he gets caught growing cannabis.
No.
Yeah. So,
and that's a lot of the point, that weed men and some of this decriminalization effort, which I actually, there was a lot of calls that went on around the Home Grow March that we did that Sanjay and you guys were part of organizing.
Yeah.
And I know that I made a call and a number of people called the governor's office. And one of the things I said to them was, you don't need to do much through the legislature. You can tell your cops to stop arresting. You can put out a moratorium.
Yeah. New York City did that before they more formally
decriminalized. A line item veto is you could line item veto out funding for drug enforcement. I mean, a governor can do that with nobody. It takes his pen. So I think and I pressed him on that. And I don't want to say that it was me calling the governor's office. I only talk to a staffer. Phil doesn't pick up the phone when I call anymore. But, a couple of hours later, he put out that release supporting decriminalization.
That's good.
And I've always seen decriminalization as more important than legalization. I don't care who taxes and who profits and whatever, but I just want people to stop going to jail. And then let's figure this out. And to his credit, Ron Rice, when this all first blew up, Ron Rice was taking a lot of heat for some of his statements, but he seems to be kind of right.
In hindsight.
One of the statements he made, which hit me home and where I started to think maybe this guy's onto something, was he said, you don't need to set in place all these laws to let people out of jail. You just got to let them out of jail. Mm-hmm. And I think what everybody is trying to do, whether it be on the legalization end, recreational end or whatever, when you're coming at it from a profit motive, that's not you, that's not Ken. It's not me. But when you're coming at it from a profit motive, you're basically holding everybody in hostage in jail and saying they'll get out of jail when we make money the way we want to make money. The Caucasian cannabis corporations, they're going to get taken care of. And then we'll let all these black people out of jail. And that's what's going on. And I think the more we see that, the more I understand why Ed Fortune is taking the position that he does. I get that we want to take care of patients.
Ron Rice said some ignorant stuff.
He's not the smartest guy in the whole world.
Yeah, and he said marijuana.
But he was right about that.
It'll kill you directly. You do a much better Ron Rice. What else did he say?
Marijuana, sex toy, horns, sounding right across the street from my office.
That's exactly a quote. That's a perfect quote.
I didn't just create that. He actually said that.
What was the line?
Marijuana lipstick, marijuana sex toy, horns. Being sold right across the street from my office.
In America. This is a senator, a sitting senator talking like that. Yes.
Marijuana lipstick. Sex toy oil. Marijuana candy. Marijuana cotton panties.
Wow.
Do you have a feminist?
Diane wants to know where his Diane office wants is to know where she can get some of this loot.
Newark. He's in Newark. Sex toy hoils in Newark.
Marijuana sex toys.
Yes, Diane, I'm not defending Ron Rice's knowledge on the subject. But he was right. I mean, so decriminalization still seems to be taking a back seat, towards making money, you know?
And what about deschedulization? If they deschedule it,
what does that mean? That's a federal thing.
Our attorney general can take that off. Our New Jersey can deschedule it in New Jersey. The attorney general's office can do that. Department of Commerce.
Right. I think we should be holding everybody accountable for not doing the things that they can do.
Yeah.
Do something.
And, right. And what Phil Murphy is doing. And Phil, listen, every governor does this. So I'm not mm-hmm. picking on you, Phil. It's okay. You're still
here. His hands are tied because of SS and the SS.
They're not tied, so to speak, but what they're doing is they're turning it into politics. So Phil Murphy's not going to put a moratorium out on arrests, and he's not going to line item veto funding because it's the legislator. And you guys got to go talk to Steve Sweeney. How many of you heard that from Murphy's people? You got to go talk to Sweeney. You got to go talk to the legislator. And then you go talk to the legislator, and he says you got to talk to another legislator. And that legislator...
Passing the buck.
It's called passing the buck. The buck does not stop in Trenton. It goes round and round, and it stays in committee. That's where the buck goes in Trenton.
And meanwhile, we have black and brown people sitting in jail, having their lives permanently impacted. I mean, from everything from being denied financial aid, you could have your whole family thrown out of public housing, every job application and criminal record check. And we know the arrests disproportionately affect black and brown people. So it's an emergency and people's lives are being ruined every day when Governor Murphy and our state legislature can do something. Now it's an emergency.
Yeah, the drug war was created to do that. It was created for racist purposes, and it continues to this day. It's sad. Yeah. You have a clip you want to play of?
Do I
of our star here?
Oh, of Bong Ho Leo. We played that in the beginning a little bit. Moved past it. I'll put the clip up on the feed after this because we've got to start cleaning up. The coffee house closes here in about 15 minutes. So we do have to wrap up a little bit.
You want to talk to Bong Ho Leo for a second?
Yeah, minutes left, and I want to make sure we talk to
him. He does art activism. And Bong Ho Leo is one of his art projects. He does a lot of art projects. It's the most amazing thing ever.
Let's hear it.
Please.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Bong Ho Leo thing is the marriage of art and activism.
Are you going to put it back up on the screen?
I'll try. Go ahead.
But that's that's one of the things I've always been fond of is making art. So doing all the activism stuff, it's just naturally found its way to something I've enjoyed doing. Right now I'm working on a piece that is representative of for someone who is type 1 diabetic. I'm taking the insulin caps, making an image of a marijuana leaf, going to associate some facts. The thing surrounding type 1 diabetes is unbelievable what a type 1 diabetic goes through. And the way that they squeeze people, and it's disgusting, you know. Insulin prices over the last 5 years have increased like 1,000%.
Capitalism.
People, it's the cost of living or dying.
Yeah.
And, you know, the biggest injustices are the ones that are taking place right in front of your faces, right underneath your noses. And there's so many injustices that it's like pick your battle. You know, how much energy do you have? Find out what it is that you want to place energy toward that's worth fighting for. Because, again, there's just so many injustices and you just got to pick them or whatever. So I've been enjoying doing art and marriage in it with activism.
Art and activism.
Yeah,
right, absolutely. Up New Jersey. Right. And here we have a demonstration, of course, of this art, and we have a bong being wanded.
Where is this?
That's in Bricktown.
Brick. Had to be Ocean County. It's Ocean County,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Bricktown.
It had to be Ocean County.
Where are you? What is the...
It was a council meeting, they made me take that off, which I like to say is my fancy coat. Because if anyone tells me I can't wear that again, it's my fancy coat. So
And it's they this is me, a fully functional water.
They made
water
me plant. Take it off so they could clear me. And then they had to clear the bong. So I didn't ask them to wand it. They thought it was necessary to wand the bong. And now is their way of clearing it.
I know everybody in the coffee house is like engaged and they're like, look, you know, this is kind of like, so you at home, you don't see behind us. This is a coffee shop. People are doing it. Nobody's paying attention to the bong going through security. I don't know how, but we can't. If I can't grab their attention, what they say?
So they can clear me.
There we go. I got to get that. Okay, there we go. All
but,
right.
But in little moments like that over the course of doing that, that was
memories, man. These
little gold moments, little gems. That was a good one.
And the activist community needs creative actions to engage people.
Right.
We can't do things as business as usual. And, we got to go a little over the top sometimes.
And,
right?
You know, we lived in a social media era where everybody, you know, you're reading posts, you're scrolling through, words don't really stick. Too much. There's so much to go through. People don't want to look at a post that's more than a little bit of, you know,
sound bites.
Yeah. So sometimes visual information, visual impact, the punch in the face of seeing a bong show up,
it sticks.
Or an art project or something that visually connects somebody, and then they remember it's imprinted in their memory from that moment. You know?
Yeah. Attention getting needed.
So we have the rally at the State House tomorrow, but what other events? Ignorance is no excuse tour. These guys go around and they make sure that businesses are complying with ADA and other regulations. Any other events besides, I'm going to go over to the State House tomorrow, but what else you got going on? Anything else coming up you need to call attention to before we go?
Where'd we go next? We're doing a farewell concert. We're doing one more Bongholio for Bridgeport.
Okay. So when is that? When and where is that?
I think it's the 17th. I think it's
December 17th. Next
December
week.
December 17th.
Yeah. Do you have a farewell Facebook page or people can?
It's on his event page for Steve Across.
Okay.
That's where Jeff Oakes, who we're talking about, the cancer patient, that's where he lives in Oceanport.
Okay.
And their town council is very much deserving of a nice farewell present. It's going to be our Christmas present to them.
A farewell to Bongholio.
They were a dirty, bad council over the course of their term.
Okay.
So that's they'll awesome. Get a little farewell shot. Okay.
Lefty, when does Sativa Cross come back to the State House lawn, man?
Back in April, we'll be back at the State House. It's too cold now, so we'll
taking
be back
a break.
Here. Yeah, we're doing some wheelchair stuff. We do a lot of wheelchair access videos. I got one guy that just he just called me today. The guy Brian from the other last place that assaulted me. I got assaulted 3 times.
Oh,
the last guy that assaulted me is going to get a ramp. He just put a ramp in.
There you go.
I'm happy about that.
Price to pay. Well, it's a little bit much.
Ridiculous.
So tomorrow at the State House, again, Cosecha, our allies, are going to be fighting for driver's license. We will be down there sessioning and fighting for legal cannabis. So we want everybody to have the right to drive with weed. But also on December 14th, Women in the Kurdish Struggle in Rojava is going to happen at the Central Jersey Coalition Against Endless War. They're hosting their Marx Coffee House that happens at the Highland Park Reformed Church December 14th at 7:30 p.m. I can't wait for that. The women struggling in Kurdish territory, some of the bravest people on the face of the earth. And if you don't get inspired by them, I don't know what's wrong with you. And then, of course, on January 26th, Women, Weed, and Wellness will be happening at the Cherry Hill Women's Center at 3 p.m. That's a Sunday? It's a Sunday. It's a Sunday. So check that out. My comrade, Heather Warburton from Wine, Women, and Revolution will be hosting that. Other than that, I will be talking to you soon. Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Everybody,
we want everyone to be in Trenton tomorrow morning.
Morning, 9 a.m.
to 12.
It'll be fun. So for me, everybody here at New Jersey Revolution Radio, Cora, Rolf, this is Brian Powers, and I want to remind you all that the police can quit their jobs.
And thanks for watching or listening. We want to see everyone down in Trenton tomorrow, and I'll see you in the streets.
See ya.